team, you can go. Thank you. Good job. Thanks. Yeah, I'll have my Bible too. Thanks, Wes. Fantastic. Great thing to have, your Bible. Good to bring your Bible to church. So, after this, after the announcements, the junior youth are going to have Junior Youth Connect. Our leap into spring total. We've been doing our local and international support. We have four churches in Liberia. We have some contacts now with the Philippines. We have great work in Southeast Asia. And we have a lot of local mission and other things as well. And we've been able to raise in faith promises and cash so far $55,000. It's good. It's good. Which is great. So slightly under last year. So if you haven't paid up yet, you can do that. But there's one on your chair. In fact, every second chair, there's one there. So if for some reason you've forgotten to put in your leap into spring, you can put that in. That'd be fantastic. And there's, you can do both cash offering and a faith promise on your card. Have I forgotten something? No? You looked at me and I thought... Yes, we are. We have been aiming for 65. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. And there are people in our church, they give $5,000, $10,000 lots. And it's not a joke. It's because it's what we do when we love Jesus. And the more we have faith in God, $5,000 over the course of a year, $10,000 over the course of a year, is not that much when it's affecting God's kingdom worldwide, is it? And so we've got to look at that. And I might talk about that a little bit more in my message. Welcome back, team. And but before we do that, I was just thinking about, before we take up the offering, and we'll do this just in a second, great to have some new people. Great to have Ken doing the ushering this morning. Good on you, Ken. Well done. Now, next week, we've got a testimony. We've got a good news story of Ken's knee. So come back to church, and you'll see how that happened. Quite incredible. 4.5 years his knee's been bad, and then he fell off the bus to make it even worse. But God's made him completely better. Who's looking forward to that next week? So that's next Sunday. And but before we do that, I was just thinking about the widow in 1 Kings 17, and she was basically going to cook her last meal before her and her son went to be with Jesus, really. And Elijah said, well, cook me a little bit first. You know, you can never outgive God. God is the supplier of everything. He supplies all our needs. And so when we bring our tithes and our offerings to God, and we've got some great generous people in our church, we love Jesus and understand what that means to be a follower of Christ. And as she did, she baked that little bit. She goes, I think she thought, well, you know what? I'm going to die soon anyway. Might as well give God a chance. Wouldn't it be great if we all had that kind of faith? If we're just like a little child. You know, when my son was little, he's not so little anymore. But when he was little, he would do anything I said. Oh, how times have changed, eh? But he'd believe me. He'd believe in me. Isn't that the kind of faith we should have with our Father? Whatever you say, God. I mean, you think about it. If Abraham hadn't said what he said, and said, well, I'm just going to trust you. Wow. It would have made a complete difference to our lives. It might not have been turned out quite the same. God knows what he's doing. All we got to do is put our trust in him. And one of the ways we show that as Christian people, regardless of what government's in power, right? Regardless of what's going on in the world, and some of it's tragic right now, we should pray for those things. But when we put our trust in Christ, we know that in the end, His love never fails, as we've been singing about. That we go to be with Him forever. God cares more about our lives than anything else. At the end of the day, we put our faith in Christ. He loves us. He looks out for us. He cares for us. And somehow in his cycle of life, which is different to the world's, we end up always having what we need. God cares. The widow had everything she needed. She never drew, until the drought had finished, she had everything she needed. How cool is that? Let's just change our attitude a little bit and just be blessed with what we do have. Yeah? Let's be blessed with the things that we can thank God for. We'll see a change in our demeanor and we'll love God even more. And you know, life always goes better when we do that. So, Father, I pray as we take up our offering today that you will bless us tremendously. Lord, we know you do. We trust your word, Lord. We don't trust ourselves, we trust your word. We trust your Holy Spirit that you've given us. And we thank you, Lord, that you make a way where nothing else can make a way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take up our tithes and offerings. Let's watch our announcements too. Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things. 'Cause it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible. Excellent. All right. Gee, that went. Suddenly the atmosphere just stopped, didn't it? But hey, turn to the neighbour and say, I'm glad I came to church this morning. I want to talk this morning about, start a series, and Bruce and Julie are going to help. Well, Bruce is going to help with this in a couple of weeks' time as our guest speaker from C3 in Adelaide Hills. Never had him before. That'll be fun. Look forward to those guys coming. Been a part of our church life for a weekend. But I want to talk this morning about being a disciple. And it's not as hard as we think. It's simply obeying the word of, there's a few things. We're going to get to that. But so next few weeks, being a disciple. And this morning I want to talk about one key area of life which we all face. And I've titled it Overcoming. Overcoming. Because who knows that sometimes we just got to overcome. And so this morning, let's start by giving you an illustration from George Mueller, the Christian evangelist and director of the Ashley Downs Orphanage in Bristol, England. And he said this, "To learn strong faith is to endure great trials." I should have said that quicker, shouldn't I? But it's anyway. All right, Jude, you'll get the context of this in a minute. So George Mueller, Christian evangelist, run lots of orphanages. "To learn strong faith is to endure great trials. I have learned my faith by standing firm amid severe testings." In his lifetime, he cared for 10,024 orphans. Wow. Many times there was no food, and he would simply ask that the children were seated for their meals. On one such occasion, the children were seated... Excuse me, I'm itchy. Right where the microphone was. I had to scratch it. It was annoying me. Okay. We on track again? Well, no, but I'll get you there. All right. There was no food, okay? And he would simply ask the children to sit down for their meals. On one such occasion, the children were seated for breakfast on George's instruction. But the staff knew there wasn't any food. You can imagine their faces. What are we going to do, George? They're all looking to him. Coincidentally, the milk cart lost its wheel out the front of the orphanage, and the driver asked if they needed any milk. The baker knocks on the door. "George, I've had such a restless night. I just knew I had to bake some extra loaves," and he'd baked enough for all 300 children in the orphanage. So how do we become great overcomers? 1 John 5, verse 1. Come with me if you have your Bibles. 1 John 5, 1 to 5. Let's look at it on the screen in the New King James Version, AJ. I'm going to read it from a different version, which I cannot remember what version it is. But anyway. "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is a child of God." Who believes that this morning? Yeah. "And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments, and really that isn't difficult." Now listen to me now, rather than the screen, just for this sentence. "For every child of God defeats this evil world by trusting Christ to give the victory. And the ones who win this battle against the world are the ones who believe that Jesus is the Son of God." Who believes Jesus is the Son of God today? Jesus is the Son of God. We believe in Jesus, and it's always the way to know if other people have gone a bit astray, because Jesus is the Son of God. And so my first point this morning is be born again. Be what? It's in the Bible. We what? Be born again. And so to become an overcomer, it starts with being born again. In John chapter 3, when Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader, came to Jesus and said, "We all know God has sent you to teach us, and it's kind of obvious that you can do all this stuff because you're healing all these people. So we understand that God's with you, Jesus." And Jesus says back to this religious leader, "I assure you, unless you are born again, you can never see the kingdom of God." What does that mean, born again? Nicodemus. So here's this religious guy, but he didn't. Jesus was looking at him going, you've got to have the born again experience. You believe in Jesus as Savior and Lord. I'm going to give you a few, we'll work this out as we go along. We believe in Jesus as Savior and Lord. That's part of being born again. You live by faith and not by sight. You are born into a supernatural power of God and you're filled with His Holy Spirit. They probably go hand in hand, those last two. So you know when you're born of the Spirit because you see things differently. And you see when things aren't that going so well for you, when you thought that that thing was going to sell and it didn't, or there's areas in our life that we are struggling with, and isn't that just part of life these days? Nothing ever goes quite like you'd like it to, does it, Steve? But aren't we glad that we've got someone that we can go to and share our hearts with and know that somehow just that joy, that just even in that moment of time, it might be driving to work or whatever it is, we are renewed by the power of God and we can continue. See, when you're born again, you can call things as though they are, even if they're not right now. God has brought the dead back to life the moment we accept Jesus as Lord. The moment we accept Jesus as Lord of our life, those things that are dead in our life, we don't accept them. They may not be changed straight away, but we know that God's alive in our life and things are going to change anyway. He's alive. Turn to your neighbor and say, He's alive. Nicodemus was trying to be logical. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So I'm going to go back into my mother's womb somehow, am I, Jesus? Yes, it's good to be logical. It's good to have plans, yes? It's good to use the skills God has given us. It's good to stay grounded. But still, we must lead our lives if we profess to be His children, not only from a human perspective. When we are born again, we recognize the Holy Spirit gives new life from heaven. We choose to pray and ask God for His direction and insight. We've got to be praying. What does the Bible, how often does the Bible say to pray? How often? Dave, in the sound desk, without ceasing, say it loud. Without ceasing. We don't have to always talk it out, but under our breath. Without ceasing. Whatever we're doing. I went for a surf yesterday morning, and I'm just under my breath, just thinking about godly stuff. It's just there. I'm still having a great time. I'm still talking to the guys in the water, but I've still got the pulsating presence of the Holy Spirit. We've got to activate His will in our lives. How do we do that? Without ceasing. We pray. Disciples believe like Abraham that God can bring the dead back to life. Has this gone off? On our lips, when faced with difficult or seemingly impossible situations, we must go back to, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Guys, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? God brought Jesus back from the dead. Come on. Did He? He was dead. He didn't just do it for Jesus. He did it for lots of others. He's showing us that whatever seems to be dead in our life, God can bring back to life. When they had fulfilled all the prophecies concerning His death, they took Him down from the cross and placed Him in a tomb, but God raised Him from the dead. Acts 13:30. He was raised from the dead to make us right with God. Do you get this? If we're made right with God, We are on the same standing as God. Whew. Man, what does that mean? It means we're born again. It means that we can do the things that Jesus was doing on the earth, does it not? God wants to use you for his supernatural purposes. God wants to use you. Every one of us, God wants to use you. God wants to show his power to a world that's decaying and dying, right? And so being born again is actually getting a hold of the Holy Spirit within us and transferring his power into someone else's life, however great or small. That's the beginning of the born again experience. It's being born of the Spirit. You know, I think probably Andrew and I have had one of the worst Augusts in our life. Would that be true, darling? It's up there. It was not a good month. We committed quite a few $1,000 to leave it to spring, and like we do. And at the same time, everything else went wrong. Cost quite a lot of money. In fact, I haven't got the money to fix it, some things. House got property we have. The house got a phone call the moment we'd sort of done our plans and said, this is how much we're going to give. Get a phone call. I think it was the next morning, but 4 a.m. House we have, completely flooded. And the agent says to me the next day, like, I've never had one quite this like this before. Is that coincidental? Come on. So I had a choice, or Andrew and I had a choice. Do we renege? Or do we trust God? That was just one little thing. There were others. I know some of you are also going through trials and tribulations right now. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. If I don't have the money, I don't have the money. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? Our faith grows as we trust God. And you kind of go, well, you know what? You actually become freer. You know what it's like. You actually go, it's in God's hands. Yeah, well, I'm just trying to be real this morning. Is that okay? And I said that was just one thing. There's been others. I'm not going to just say some of the others. They're a bit more, some of them quite personal. But, you know, sometimes life just sucks. But I'm glad I've got a God that can get me through the suck. See, the devil hates the life of God. Actually quite incredible what we've been able to do. You know, I think our church is around 300 members. Where's all our Africans today? I love having our Africans. Look, can we ring some Africans this week? All our Aboriginals that are normally here. All the other cultures, Malaysians, Indians. And I know some people are sick too. You know, I had the worst week. I had the week from hell before I prayed for Ken's knee. The devil wants to sap our faith so that we don't do good stuff. So if you're struggling or you're going through things that you just think, my God, recognize that you can actually do some good news and have a good news story. Break through the darkness. God bless you. God wants to use you even when you don't feel like it, doesn't he? And when you don't feel like it, it's probably the time where it's going to be the wow factor. So turn to your neighbor or just whisper in their ear if you're husband and wife or girlfriend, girl, boyfriend. Step out. Step out. Come on, say it to one another. Step out. Step out. And God will always bring someone to you to meet your kind of personality, right? You're not going to have some, you're a timid, quiet person. You're not going to have to worry about some big dominating. Rah. God works it out. God works it out. Did you think I'm talking about me, did you, Jared? Second. All right, so we've got to be born again, right? And we understand what being born again is a little bit more. Second, his commands are not burdensome. Did I say that right? Burdensome. Yeah. See, sometimes it can seem like it's hard to serve God. Am I right? Why should I serve God? No one else is serving around here. Why should I keep doing what I'm doing? I often think of Sandy up here. I know he's sitting there. Well, where's the people today? You know, why aren't they all here? I'm here. I'm playing. Where's all the people? How does he think I'd get my wife out of bed early this morning so she could cook me breakfast? I even heard you had pancakes today. Was it a special occasion or what? But anyway. Why do we do it? Because we love God. Why do we turn up to church? Because we love Jesus. Why do we keep serving every week? Because we know it gives us purpose for our life and there's nothing else that beats that. So when life's hard, I guess Job had the answer in naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I returned. Or we can go with the roller coaster of our emotions. But who knows, that's hell on earth. Our emotions are played out by the devil frequently, and we have to recognize that he wants to play on them. Oh, it's one of the biggest areas that he'll try and get. Because if he can get us emotionally unstable, well, we're a mess, right? But God didn't give us a spirit of, but of power, love, and sound mind. And if we're going to have a sound mind, we keep our emotions in check. We recognize the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. And God accepts us for who we are. He accepts you for who you are. Regardless of what's going on or your emotional state, he still accepts you for who you are. He improved it entirely by taking all our sin on the cross, didn't he? We didn't deserve it. And so it's being born again means our faith will overcome. And so when we take on the born again experience, we say, God, I'm just going to trust you. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I'm going to trust you. Sometimes it's good just to speak those words out and say, I'm simply going to trust you. You know, I could rather be with my friends that are doing other things, but I'd rather trust you, Lord, so help me. You know I could have a lot more money if I didn't, it certainly appears that way, if I didn't give to you, but I'd rather trust you anyway. Rather spend half an hour in my garage praising God or wherever you pray, walking along the beach or walking your dog or your cat maybe. Hey, it happens a lot. I've seen it in Fremantle quite often. You might have a bird on your shoulder, I don't know. But at least just keep loving Jesus. Seriously. Isn't that right? Just keep loving Jesus. when we apply the commands of God to our life, they ground us. They support us and they free us. Talking about his word. The process of discipleship is us leaving the pain and brokenness of our own way and beginning to walk God's way with him alongside us. You say that one more time. The process of discipleship is us leaving the pain and brokenness of our own way and beginning to walk God's way with him alongside us. But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Who'd like more self-control? We have to be intentional about our faith. Have to be. Passivity, offering no opposition when things are not so good circumstantially, means that you're not participating in the born-again experience. God wants you to participate in faith and say, I'm just going to trust God anyway. Whatever partner or husband doesn't believe in God, well, I'm just going to trust God anyway. Might have gone through a divorce and it's been pretty ugly, but I'm still going to trust God anyway. Life might not be so good at home for whatever reason, but I'm going to trust God anyway. I wish things would change in my circumstances or with a person in my life, but it's not, but I'm still going to trust you anyway, God. There are some incredible men and women in this church who have determined to live by faith. And even when things are not improving circumstantially, these people are the real heroes. In my eyes, at least. And I know in God's eyes too. Because those who are faithful inherit the promises of God. So three. We are living in the already but not yet zone. The already but not yet. Because, you know, I just want to clarify something here. I believe that Jesus heals today, don't you? But the fact remains that not everyone we pray for gets healed, right? But I still believe it, do you? That's just one example. So I want to talk this morning about the already but not yet. See, Jesus has won the victory over sin. He's won the victory over suffering and death. But we still sin, we still suffer, and we still die, right? And so it is the tension of the already but not yet. The victory is that we go to be with him, we live with him forever. Yeah? The prize is there, we know that. Philippians. On the one hand, God's kingdom has already come in the person of Jesus Christ. Let me read to you from Hebrews 2:14. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. We no longer carry the power of death on our lives. It's free. We're born again. Yes? We understand that. And on the other hand, the perfect kingdom toward which he pointed awaits his personal return to earth. We experience the tension of living between the already but not yet aspects of God's kingdom. Let me explain by using the example from Scripture. The story of Jesus commissioning the disciples. There were 72 disciples in Luke 10. He sends out the 72. Go out and be my disciples. And a little while later, they'd been out, and they come back and they go, wow, Jesus, this is amazing. Even the demons bow to the name of Jesus. Jesus himself is all excited with them all. And he goes, I saw Satan falling like a bolt, light of bolting falling from heaven. And they're all like having a little dance party. This is incredible. This is the born again experience, right? But we also know that many of those same disciples got martyred. Right? Yeah? They didn't fare so well in the end. But they still got to be with Jesus. And there's some things that there's a tension between the already but not yet. So we trust God like we the disciples did. And yes, we get excited, and yes, we. But there's just some things that we just have to trust God in, regardless. We just got to trust Him. Even so, we can face whatever comes, for the day is coming when we enter into the victory that Jesus has won. So let me clarify in this way by using a scripture from Romans 8. Can anything separate us from the love of Christ? Does it mean He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted, or are hungry or cold, or in danger or threatened with death? No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. So in other countries of the world, I can imagine Syria right now. I bet you there's Christians there that are going, oh God, take me. Come on. But nothing can separate us in those situations where it's desperate. And if you're in a desperate situation right now, whatever it is, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you. And so lastly, our faith overcomes. Turn to your neighbor and say, my faith will overcome. See, for everyone born of God overcomes the world, the Bible says. Are you born again? Are you born again? Because if you are born to be an overcomer. You have been given the supernatural power that can overcome. And too often we buy into the devil's deception. We believe that we are not as strong as God says that we are. But God says that you are born to overcome. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down. My goodness, who's been hunted lately? But never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. 2 Corinthians 4, 8, 9, if you're taking notes. Our faith achieves the victory. Oh, come on, let's say it together. My faith achieves the victory. Put your hands up. My faith achieves the victory. Thank you, Lord. See, faith is the ingredient that causes us to become overcomers. Your faith brings a victory. The devil's goal is for you to give up on your faith. He doesn't mind if you go to church. Doesn't mind if you go to Connect Group, even be a leader. As long as your faith is dented. Because if your faith is dented, it's hard to have a born-again experience. And victory is standing firm in your faith through whatever life throws at you. And circumstances are there to help grow our faith. Oh, did you have to say that, Nigel? Peter 1:7. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. That's tough. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Through your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, not just one, God, isn't one enough? Basically, God knows we're going to have lots of them. And we man up. We man up in the power of the Holy Spirit. We say, devil, get your hands off. Oh, as for me and my house, I'm going to trust you. When I'm feeling down or depressed, or I'm feeling like it's just, I know that tomorrow I'm still going to love Jesus. Sometimes life's just not fair, is it? Let's face it. Listen to this. So when your faith remains strong, this is 1 Peter 1:7, through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. God is not bringing your problems. We've got to recognize that. He loves you and will show you the way to come out of your problems stronger in faith. So, let's stand to our feet this morning. Number one, let's bow our heads for a moment and say, yes, Lord, no matter what comes into my life, I'm going to trust you. See, overcoming is being born again. It is allowing his Holy Spirit into everything about us. We see through his eyes and not our own alone. We're still grounded. We haven't gone kooky. But all I'm saying is that we have a knowing that God's presence is here in our life. We still know we live in the world, but we're going to take God's side rather than the world's. That's what I mean. Second, his commands are not burdensome. His word liberates our life. We stand on his word. If necessary, we repeat it over and over again until we get the freedom. Three already, but not yet. Stuff happens, but ultimately we still win. Lastly, our faith overcomes. See, the devil wants to give up, us to give up our faith. But I will stand firm because my God has already won the victory, and I look forward to the day of his return. The people of God said, amen. Now, if you're here this morning and you have any kind of illness, any kind of sickness, or you're struggling in your faith for whatever reason, I don't think it'd be right of me not to pray. So I'd love to do that this morning. We're going to close our meeting in just a moment's time. Want to stay and receive from God this morning and open up the front here, you can come forward. We'd love to pray with you. I'd ask a couple of the Connect Group leaders please to just stay, just